Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
I'm so glad we're chanting that or saying that Sandokai every evening now. Mm-hmm. I think that's such a good idea. Feels good. So Suzuki Roshi has brought us to the four elements returning to their natures as a child turns to its mother. Fire, wind, water, earth. That's a classic way of defining what the world and the cosmos is made of. Just these things. They are a metaphor in many, many different levels, many different eras, many different ways. You say maybe the world will end in fire, maybe in water. Now everybody's talking about it in a whole new way. But these are things, the elements of which we're made and which we're very aware of. So what it's saying in here is that each one is its own self, has its own nature, that a fire is like water, though the Sufis say if you walk into the fire you end up in a pool, a cool pool of water. This is another kind of metaphor with fire and water. You can see how that might be. In our sitting practice, we sometimes have to walk through fire. And if we're able to do that, we end up in a very cool place. So Roshi talks about Buddhist ideas about the four elements called Gokumi. And there, he says, they're not only just stuff, but they're energy or potential or readiness. Everything quivers with life, you could say. Everything shakes with possibility. He said, to these four elements we add the quality of emptiness. That's kind of a funny thing to say. It's not exactly that emptiness is a quality. I think these things themselves are emptiness. That's the whole message of the Heart Sutra, that form is emptiness. These forms are an expression of emptiness, you could say. Even though they are empty, he says, from this emptiness, these elements come into being. So that this vital, energetic, this dynamic, keeps giving birth to things. It comes out of the ground and from the sky, and then out of everything come more things, so that out of the tree comes branches and leaves, and then from those come more things and more. So it proliferates immensely. And that's life itself, but life birthing itself over and over again. He says, as soon as these four things come into being, right there, that's the final unit, the Gokumi. That's the Buddhist understanding of being. It looks as if we're talking about matter, but these elements are not just matter, they're both spirit and matter, with including thinking mind. Accordingly, emptiness includes both matter and spirit, both mind and object, both the subjective world and the objective world. Emptiness is the final being which our thinking mind cannot reach. So each of the four elements, he says, then resumes its own nature, that is, comes to emptiness, just as a child turns to its mother. Without the mother, there is no child, and that child means a mother is there. So emptiness is here means that the four elements are here. And even though the four elements are here, they're nothing but a momentary formation of the final emptiness. So he says, Sekito is explaining reality in two ways. One is independence, and the other is dependence. The first truth of independence, the four elements, each has its own nature. So fire is fire and nothing else. Water is water. And yet all of them is as independent as they are completely dependent on everything else. That water has to flow somewhere, on something, in something. Fire has to burn something. Wind blows something. All of it is related to everything else. And that's what Sekito saw. He saw that nothing is totally independent, that the independent view that we take for granted is one view, but the total view is that there is a coherence and a wholeness that, unless we feel toward it not only with our minds and our thoughts, but with our hearts, feel toward see, you can't really say the original nature of nature, you could say. He says, each of you is independent, but you're related to each other. Even though you're related to each other, you're independent. We can say it either way. We experience it either way. So we can't demand that it be one way, stamp our foot and say, this is what I know, this is it. Because if we press it a little bit harder, we can have to see that it's the other way as well. Both and. We always try to understand things completely so we will not be mixed up. But we shouldn't be confused by dependence and independence. Both are true. So in the viewpoint of independency, everything exists with Buddha nature, no matter what happens to this world. But even so, nothing exists when seen from the viewpoint of utter darkness or the absolute. That which exists is nothingness or darkness in which the many things exist as one. Many things exist, but there is nothing you can see or say about that. There's no way to understand things by explaining them individually. That's just an intellectual description. We must have an actual feeling of it as well. If you can just appreciate each thing one by one, then you will have pure gratitude. Even though you observe just one flower, that one flower includes everything. It is the absolute. It is Buddha itself. At the same time, that which exists is just a flower. And there's no one to see it and nothing to be seen. That's the feeling we should have in our practice and in everyday activity. Then whatever work you do, you will have a continuous feeling of pure gratitude. Totally confused? At the same time, that which exists is just a flower, and there is no one to see it and nothing to be seen. That is the feeling we should have in our practice and in our everyday activity. Then whatever work you do, you will have a continuous feeling of pure gratitude.
What page is that on?
88. 89. And then he talks about, he says, it sounds like I'm an enlightened person, and he says, I'm not. Just because I'm talking like that, he says. It's just talk. He says, for an enlightened person, it's very true. But for people who are not enlightened, it's just talk. When our practice follows this understanding, that is true Buddhism. Our practice should not be just intellectual. Even if you practice hard, without this kind of understanding, your practice doesn't make much sense. It's still involved in the idea of somethingness. I think that's a very important point. Our whole attachment is to things. The reason we get confused is because we think things are solid and real. We think they're supposed to stay put. We think we can own things. We think we can have power over things. And we don't think we're a thing. We think we're different. So this is trying to rearrange our mind a bit so that we can see more clearly how things are. Questions?
So much in life. There's so much. Maybe seven few words.
Yes.
One thing that struck me at first was the vibrancy, which reminded me of string theory. String theory says down at the bottom, everything of these teeny little strings that vibrate at different frequencies.
Yes.
So I was at an astronomy club meeting last week, and we were talking about the nature of reality. Only from an objective point of view, out there. and everybody was concerned about what was billions and billions of light years out there, and not so very, very much concerned about what's happening right here.
As if it had nothing to do with
exactly.
It.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was fascinating. But, you know, it's like we're approaching it from two angles.
Yes.
The scientists who are doing this. And
yes.
There's books on that, too. But,
more and more.
Yeah. Zen and science seem to be approaching each other.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
So he's sitting there talking about the nature of reality by being it.
Yes.
Get the inside track.
The most inside you can get.
The most inside you can get, yeah.
Right here.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
So when Sakito or Suzuki says that when you look at the flower, it disappears and you disappear, is that the darkness? Is that related to the darkness
yeah.
that they talked about earlier?
Yeah.
And that's the oneness, the interrelatedness.
Mm-hmm.
I think dark, a better word can be found than darkness. It seems like maybe a brilliant light or something.
No, light is what enables us to see. So without light, we're not seeing anymore. We don't see objects anymore. The things all become one thing. So it's not that everything disappears at all. It's just our experience is either very focused and projected on the thinginess of stuff, or our attention goes to the experience of I don't know a word for it, the completeness and wholeness of whatever we're encountering, so that it and you yourself become one, and that one thing isn't a thing.
Well, yeah, it sounds pretty psychedelic.
It is kind of, it is psychedelic. that is an experience that is often had in drugs as well as in practice.
It's okay, well, yeah. So, and then it said the mind cannot be emptiness. What did they say about, no, I'm in the wrong one. Something about emptiness is the final being which our thinking mind cannot reach. Oh, I see, you're just saying that we need a different mind to get there. To the
it's when the mind
experience
drops.
Of emptiness.
When the thinking mind stops nattering on and makes room, there's a whole lot of room, and it's talking about that.
It's not an intellectual
It's not a thought thing. Yeah. So if we look at a flower, it can just be a plain old flower, or we can analyze it in a scientific way, in every kind of way scientifically, or in a lot of other different ways philosophically, etc. Think. But if we just allow ourselves to surrender to the being of the flower with our own being, it's the same being. And we experience that if we allow it. So it's not out there anywhere, and it's not up in here either. It's down in here. It's just allowing what's naturally true to be in our awareness.
But you're using your senses as a vehicle to take you there.
Of course you do. They're essential. Yeah. Thank you, senses.
Okay.
They're very precious.
Stop and smell the roses.
Stop and smell the roses, right? Try not to sneeze.
That too.
So that's the Zen experience of what's called Menju, face-to-face transmission. And it isn't just a big deal with the teacher and the student at all. It's not talking about that nearly as much as it is looking at the flower or at anything else. It's the mind of the humble, surrendered mind that is able to actually meet with whatever it experiences without getting in the way. So that's what we practice about. That's what Zazen is not getting so much in the way. Just sitting down and letting accepting and allowing the whole thing to flow, to be as it is. Samia?
So, you know, the flower, you, this, you see it, it's darkness or it's light, and then you don't see it, you're not getting it, you're getting pissed, you're not accepting things the way they are, or I'm getting pissed.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I'm not seeing it. Then I start questioning my practice.
Oh.
And it's a little scary. The doubt comes in. Why am I anxious if I'm in the present? Okay, I'm going to be in the present. Accepting this, you know, my leg is hurting, you know, your back is hurting. I accept things the way they are. Doesn't feel good.
No, of course.
You know, more anxiety. And it seems like, okay, 2 days later, back is better. Why did I question myself, you know? And then months later, it just presents itself in a different recipe.
Mm-hmm.
And then you forget. Like, oh my God, this is something new. What's wrong? And in your practice, just because you've been doing it longer and maybe studying it more deeper, Do you recognize it as it's coming?
Oh, not always.
Okay.
No, and I don't think it's saying that we are going to do that. I don't think it's guaranteed that even though we practice, we're going to perfect ourselves in some way. And
not perfect, but kind of be almost like ready, like the sprinklers are going to come on, so I'm not going to stand in the way.
I think it doesn't always happen that way. The human mind is more complicated than that, and it has a lot of things that are in the way of it. So when things happen, like anxiety, then it's an opportunity to practice with the anxiety and see it as it is, rather than trying to put yourself in another state, because then you're just not doing the practice. The practice is being in the state in which you are and working with that. So if you're in the fire, you go into the fire, even though it's scary. But it's also the very best way. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise you're trying to make up a story about what's happening and about yourself, which isn't true. And it doesn't help. So when I'm anxious, I have to say, you know, Annabelle, you're a wreck. Take care of yourself, honey. You really need it. And then there are things we can do for ourselves. Life is hard.
And then somehow it works out itself, and it amazes me. It's like a miracle.
Yes.
Like I had nothing to do with the solution or whatever it is.
Precisely.
That's
the point.
All that work, and it just, I don't get any points for all of that.
No.
And like somebody else came and fixed it.
Yes. Yes.
It just all rolls through. Like the fire, the doubt, the anxiety. I relate.
Yeah. It's a cold, wet day. It's a cold, wet day. You can't change it.
But speaking especially what you said, like there's no agency in a way. There's no you. It is like the weather a lot. But you, then as Angie said, the human being is complex, and there are recognizing it.
And we have the means to experience everything with our eyes and nose and all of the things that Wendy was pointing out. And so we do experience pain and suffering of every kind. That's part of the package. But how we address it is what we can do. What does it say? The reality? How did that go?
The reality, I don't have that one in my mind right now. It just does not come into me.
No, me either.
I was thinking of a song earlier, but that just kind of slipped away now, too.
What's the song?
I think it's from the Thich Nhat Hanh tradition. We're on our way nowhere, nowhere to go. Taking it easy, easy and slow.
Oh, sounds good.
There are more verses, but they're not in my head right now.
It's a great way to finish tonight.
That's why it reminded me of the pure gratitude. I mean, that's what we learned in the song. When we just really look at the flowers and just then the songs come up.
Yes. And appreciate Jeffrey.
And I would like to add that and this was inspired by a book that Paul loaned me recently, but that we all have a song that we're singing, and sometimes we don't know the lyrics to them, but we're all singing that song, and we'll be known by that song. It gives me great comfort to know that I have absolutely, at this moment, no lyric to provide you, but I know that I'm singing that song.
I agree.
Completely indeterminate.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes.
But the more I practice, the more I recognize that each and every one of us is singing that song.
Yes.
Our own song.
Yes.
So. But if it weren't for all of you in here, I wouldn't even know that.
Well, we're harmonizing.
Yes, we are. Wow, that's been good. Right.
Well, it's a little after 8.